Cardiology Update, viewers, readers, and listeners. My name is Shadi Reyes. I'm interventional cardiologist and director of the cath lab at Detroit Medical Center in Detroit, Michigan, United States. I'm really privileged to come to you with a great science that came from the American College of Cardiology 2024 that was in Atlanta 2 days ago. This is a great meeting, has a lot of prevention as well as interventional and heart failure therapy that came along. So stay tuned with me. We're going to go quickly through one of the top picks for ACC 2024. Let's start with some pharmacology. The first trial that got my attention is the IMPACT-MI. The IMPACT-MI looked at the efficacy of empagliflozin, SGLT2 inhibitor, and the impact of this therapy on a patient who had recent MI. So these patients were randomized to receive placebo or empagliflozin without heart failure and looked at the adverse cardiac events or any cardiac events after the end of the follow-up. And at the end of the conclusion of the study, there was no difference or no statistical difference between two groups who received placebo or empagliflozin. What I summarized from this trial is that empagliflozin for patients who have no heart failure but recent MI show no benefit. Maybe we need a longer follow-up and more population, but stay tuned. But for the time being, empagliflozin for MI doesn't show any benefit. The second trial is also looking at prevention. It's called the BALANCE, evaluated the olezarsen, which is a medication to lower the triglyceride. This is a patient who has hypertriglyceridemia, and they tested the group at a low and high dose, and they showed that there is a reduction in the level of triglyceride at the higher dose, but not at the lower dose. With the same medication, which is olezarsen, they studied another trial called BRIDGE-TIMI-73. In this study, they compared the placebo to triglyceride in moderate and severe triglyceridemia. And in this trial, they showed that there is a drop in the triglyceride is higher with the higher dose and then a little bit lower with the lower dose. Again, showing another new therapy for patients with hypertriglyceridemia and also especially with history of cardiovascular events. Moving along to some structural studies is a SMART trial. SMART trial looking and evaluated the TAVI in patients with small annulus. We know this is a small annulus population, can be challenging and can cause kind of mismatch for patient receiving TAVR. So in this study, they compared two TAVI procedure, which is self-expanding and balloon expanding, or supra-annular implantation of self-expanding valve compared to balloon-expanding valve. And interesting finding that there was no difference between these two valves, whether you do bioprosthetic valve or you self-expanding or balloon-expanding, there is no difference in small annulus population. However, durability of bioprosthetic valve and function was better in the self-expanding valve. Moving again also to one of the interesting medication that is semaglutide that has been getting a lot of attention recently for diabetes and weight loss and other stuff. So a step HFpEF DM. This is a patient who have HFpEF and diabetes and obesity who receive a semaglutide compared to standard of care therapy. In this population, it showed that this patient has a lower KCCQ score compared to placebo, as well as shortness of breath and heart failure symptoms. Again, this population also who receives semaglutide has lower weight and decrease in weight over the course of the follow-up. Another very interesting indication as well as angle to use semaglutide in this population who has HFpEF, diabetes, and obesity. Moving to a very interesting trial, which is I think got a lot of attention, which is the DanSHOCK trial. This is a patient who presented with MI and randomized to receive Impella, which is a microaxial flow pump for kind of offloading of the LV, and those who did not receive the Impella. So these patients came with MI and were randomized to receive Impella CP versus no Impella CP. And at the end of the follow-up, which is 180 days, which is all-cause mortality, myocardial infarction, bleeding, complication, it showed that patient who received Impella has a lower endpoint adverse events compared to patient who did not receive Impella. And the vascular complication was higher, obviously, but it wasn't significant or driven cause for mortality or complication. Very interesting, the p-value was 0.04. A very interesting study. Again, it was published in New England Journal of Medicine. I'm really excited to, I would like you to refer to it and study it extensively. That might be a changing the practice going forward for patients coming with acute myocardial infarction who receive Impella. Moving along to also another heart failure trial, which is the RELIEF heart failure. This is a very interesting concept. This is, they study the safety of that transatrial shunt created by device that opened between the right atrium and left atrium for patients with heart failure. The population included were HFpEF patients as well as HFrEF patients. Interesting result that HFpEF patients have no benefit, and HFrEF patient has the most benefit when it's used in certain population as well as certain indication. Another venue for patient with advanced heart failure who's on the bridge to LVAD or bridge to transplant to relieve symptoms in patient with HFrEF but not in HFpEF. Moving along to another trial, which is the TAC2 trial. This is looking at the chelation therapy in patient who have cardiac events in the past as well as diabetes and prior MI, and they were randomized to placebo, and it showed that chelation therapy, again, part of the TAC2 trial, showed that there's lower events in patient who received chelating agents compared to placebo. One very interesting also study is, which is I think that's going to be changing the way we practice, is the reduced sweetheart. As we know, beta blocker has been one of the cornerstones for the therapy for patient with heart failure. However, a post-MI patient with normal ejection fraction, we still use beta blocker, but we don't have enough evidence. Here you go, reduced sweetheart trial came to study the impact of beta blocker, especially metoprolol and bisoprolol, because this study was done at Europe, looking comparing the patient who received beta blocker compared to those who received placebo after myocardial infarction. Interesting finding, the finding that between the two groups were no difference. So whether the patient received beta blocker after MI or not, there's no difference. Again, this is patient who had MI with normal ejection fraction and not heart failure. Something I think will change our practice. I'm really, now we have a good answer for what we do. And I think this is going forward. I don't think there's a good evidence to continue with beta blocker post-MI if the heart pump is normal. Ultimate DEPT is another post-MI trial. This is where they compared the monotherapy with ticagrelor after PCI compared to a dual antiplatelet therapy, which is aspirin and ticagrelor. Monotherapy was started right after PCI and patient received MI, and they followed, they continued this medication for 12 months. Monotherapy was non-inferior to dual antiplatelet therapy at the end of the follow-up with no reduction of, with no increased bleeding, and also with lower bleeding in the monotherapy with ticagrelor compared to DEPT, as well as same events compared to the DEPT. This is very interesting findings, and also especially for patients with high risk bleeding population, I think monotherapy is sufficient and I think can do the job, as I mentioned here, because there is no adverse event, ischemic event, and the bleeding is much lower. The DEDICATE trial is also another study that compared the outcome of TAVI compared to SAVR in patients with low risk. Again, TAVR was associated with a lower risk of stroke, lower cardiovascular events, but there was some extravascular complication in the low-risk population, but wasn't significant. Trial again, PREVENT. This is a very interesting study. PREVENT is looking at and performing a preventive PCI on no-flow limiting plaque. I think this trial is going to be a little bit controversial, but it definitely tapped into a very interesting population. Vulnerable plaque has been known that this is because of the improvement and development in imaging and NERS imaging. There is a lot of identification of vulnerable plaque that we used to leave it alone, and we kind of maximize preventive measure in this population. This trial in Korea and Southeast Asia, they looked into the doing preventive PCI in patients who have high risk features of vulnerable plaque. So there's no flow limiting, this is not a stenotic lesion, but this is a high risk plaque features that was seen on imaging. And these patients definitely received PCI compared to optimal medical therapy alone. And the findings are very interesting. At 2 years finding, the findings suggest preventive PCI has reduced major adverse cardiac event, including MI and risk of death from myocardial infarction. And there was, in terms of complication, such as target vessel revascularization or periprocedural MI, was very negligible with a rate of 0.4%. Again, this is a very interesting, I think it's going to take a while to incorporate this practice in our guidelines, and I think require a lot of training to see kind of one of the most advanced imaging tools, how to read it, how to interpret before we implement this in current practice. Final and last but not least is the Orbita Cosmic trial. Orbita Cosmic trial aimed to evaluate the efficacy of a coronary sinus reducer. This is a device where it's placed in the coronary sinus, and this is the aim of this trial, to reduce the episode of angina in patients with stable ischemic heart disease, as well as reduce the infarction or ischemia that was seen on non-invasive testing. At the end of the trial, the investigator found that there is patient who received the coronary sinus occluder who has lower event of angina, but there was no change in the perfusion study compared to placebo. This is one extra, especially if somebody is very resistant, a patient that we see sometimes with very resistant and recurrent angina. I think this will be one of the population which we can use this device for. However, as I said, there is a perfusion defect, was no difference between the placebo. So in terms of ischemia burden, is no difference, but angina relief was higher in patients who received this device. I hope you enjoyed the summary. Again, we might come up with another video for you if there is more trials coming in to cover these trials. But again, this is what the top picks for ACC, American College of Cardiology 2024, that just finished in Atlanta this last weekend. Hope you enjoyed the video. Please follow us on the social media platform, Instagram, YouTube, as well as LinkedIn and Twitter, Facebook. And if you have any question, drop it in the comment. If there is a certain topic you would like to hear from us or a certain article, please let us know and we'll be happy to cover. Thanks again for watching us. This is Cardiology Update. I am Shadi Reyes from Detroit.